the greatest thing a parent can do or will do for their young person growing up in their home is to teach them to believe.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and Jeremy Pearsons encourage the body of Christ to always pursue God and His Word and never give up regardless of the circumstances.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. My grandson, Jeremy, is here with us again today. Jeremy Pearsons, who is ministering and doing an absolute fabulous job in our church here in Eagle Mountain International Church. And the young people, young adults, and junior high and high school age young people in the church, but not only just in our local church here in Fort Worth, but also he is in charge of that ministry throughout Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the material that goes out. And this young man, like I said yesterday, I've watched him live by faith all his life. And he's not just living his mom and dad and his grandmother and granddad's revelation. He is walking by faith in his own right. And we have watched him over the years walk through some really, really nasty places on the Word of God in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different areas, financially, physically, and all different areas of life where he just did the same thing with his faith we did with ours. Praise the Lord. And we are a family that we stick together. Praise the Lord. If something happens to one of us, you've got to deal with all of us. Praise the Lord. And every time I think about that, I think about any member of our family that has ever had a baby. I mean, to tell you, we take over the hospital, man. We set up camp. One, when Alex was born, and Marty was in there, and the waiting room was just crammed full. I mean, it's all us. Mm-hmm. And one of the doctors walked in there. He said, are we having this many babies today? And the nurse said, we're only having one. Like, we had to put up with this whole gang. Amen. That's just the way our family is. But to watch our children walk by faith is a powerful, powerful thing. And that's what Jeremy's going to be talking to us about all this week, is walking step by step the life of faith. Not the life of pressure, mm-hmm. but the life of faith. Father, thank you for his ministry. Thank you for his life. Thank you for this broadcast today. And the word that goes forth, we give you the praise and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to go back over just for a moment what we started yesterday. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we won't take time to read all these scriptures again, 7 through 18. And if you didn't get yesterday's broadcast, get on kcm.org. Do what you got to do to hear that so you get caught up with this. But let's look at verse 13 again. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, will present us with you. We believe, therefore we speak, knowing. We speak what we believe, and we believe what we know, and we speak what we know, and we believe what we speak, and this is, it just goes round and round from there. But it begins with the ability to answer this question. Can you believe this? Can you believe what the Word of God says about you, what the Word of God says about your family, what the Word of God says about the situation that you're in or what you're dealing with or going through. Can you believe this? The spirit of faith begins with answering this question. And an answer to that question is, yes, sir, I can believe this,
you know,
and
there,
I do.
I was thinking as you said that, there are people who say, well, I could, I could believe it if I could see some of the results. No. No. If you saw the results, you still wouldn't believe it. People see the results, they say, yeah, but, you know, they probably paid that guy to say he was sick to start with. I mean, there's some stupid reason to talk you out of it if you're waiting on to see it to believe it. But when you make the choice and the decision to believe it, then it's like when you made the decision. Now, funny, I picked up a lemon. Yeah. If you make a choice to eat part of that lemon, my mouth is already beginning to go because I picked up a lemon here. Why? It's already started in me, and particularly if I did make the decision, I'm going to eat this thing. I don't care how sour it is. Man, it would already start the juices moving. When you made that decision, I can and I do believe because I'm a believer, and whatever God said, I believe. When you made that choice, then the spiritual works inside you. Your spiritual organs come alive to feed on that word and believe something that it can't see just because God said it.
And the best example of this in the Old and New Testament, other than watching the life of Jesus, is what the Apostle Paul used to demonstrate what Jesus did was the life of Abraham.
Ah, yeah.
And in Romans chapter 4, we won't take time today to go look at it, but in Romans chapter 4, you find over and over and over, he believed, therefore it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed, and it says it over and over and over. But there's something interesting. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13, he makes this point. And I've wondered this before. Why would he use the life of this man? This is an Old Testament man. Why does he use this as an example to talk about Jesus? Well, what he said in Romans chapter 4, in verse 13, is that this promise was not inherited by the law, but through faith. And this is something you need to realize. We need to realize this in a big way. This is not a matter of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. Faith existed before the law ever did.
That's right.
Moses showed up and he had to lay down the law for people. I mean, God was doing everything he could to get these people in line and in order. But when Jesus came and he fulfilled the law and he brought that new law and said, love, 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 love. Live your life by this. Your words, everything you are, everything you live in line with love. Then the Apostle Paul went back and started using this life of Abraham to demonstrate this life that Jesus brought to us. He did it because faith existed before the law. And we don't be too loose with this word believer. Are you a believer? Yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah, I believe. There's more to it than that. There's more. It's deeper than that. And we have our meetings, our Southwest Believers Convention, our West Coast Believers Convention. But when you look at that life of that man, Abraham, and you find out what it meant to believe, here's a man, God shows up 90 years into his life and says, I'm changing your name. This is a name that's worked pretty good for the last, you know, century or so. And he says to him in that same conversation, I want you circumcised in the flesh, and not only you, but your sons, and not only your sons, but all the ones in your house, and not only those, but all the ones bought with money.
Oh, God, no!
And the Bible says in Genesis, when God showed up and had this conversation with Abram, it says the very same day, Abram went and did these things. He changed his name, he changed Sarah's name, and the fulfillment of all this in his life, I believe the greatest demonstration that this world has ever seen from heaven and from here on earth is when Abraham was willing to put his son on the altar.
Praise God, yeah.
Because he believed. Now, am I telling you that for you to believe, you got to go change your name? That's what it means? No. You believe in the name that was given to you. Your name's been changed. We believe in it. Am I telling you to believe you got to go shed your blood? No. Stop. Don't do it. No. But you believe in the blood that was shed.
That has already been shed. Yes, sir.
Precious. Am I telling you, as a parent, to prove that you believe, you got to put your son or daughter on the altar? No. You believe in the son that was sacrificed for you. This is what it means to believe. And I want to say this before we move on, especially as we talk about young people and this teaching and this training. The greatest thing a parent can do or will do for their for the young person growing up in their home is to teach them to believe. Fathers teach their sons sports, and they teach their son. My dad, it was music and it was the arts, and that's wonderful. I was just in Steamboat not too long ago, and I got up there thinking about you teaching me to ski, and all of that is great. I love it. I love those memories. Those are wonderful. But none of it compares to the time spent at the communion table with my parents when they were teaching me to believe.
Yeah.
Time spent around the Word with you and teaching this family. We're believers. We don't back down from it.
Jeremy, I can see now what God was dealing with me about way, way back there. When your mother and Kelly and John were little, and I'm learning how to live by faith. And I kept hearing the Lord say things like, don't teach them religion, teach them how to believe my word. There's a difference between teaching your child, well, this is the way us, whoever we are, this is the way we act, this is the way we, but now you remember now, Jeremy, we're faith people. We're word people. Well, you're teaching them the word religion. You're teaching them faith religion. That's not it at all. You get into the word itself, and we're talking about living by faith. We're not talking about faith. We are living it. That's what you're talking about right
here. And the greatest thing a parent will ever do to teach their young people, yeah, you can sit them down with the word, walk them through it. You need to do that. But the greatest thing you'll ever do is demonstrate it.
Absolutely.
That's my earliest memories. My earliest memories are mom and dad walking out of the house with an armload of clothes going to give away, or giving away a car, or giving away the house we lived in. I mean, these are my earliest memories. It's a demonstration. And because of that, that very reason is why my wife Sarah and I laid in bed last night worshiping the Lord and saying, Father, we recommit over and over to live our lives by these principles, because it was demonstrated. I'm telling you, parents, the greatest thing you'll ever do for your young people is demonstrate the life of faith. You don't draw back. As a matter of fact, that's the next question I want to get into here before we move on in this. We see this in, look at verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 16. He says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 16, look at it again. We do not lose heart. That's my question for you today. How's your heart? But we don't quit.
Never.
That is a staple in this family and living, not just this family, this word of God. We do not quit. We are not of those who draw back. Let's look at that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I was in Arkansas just a few months ago with Pastor Happy and Jeannie Caldwell and preaching some of these things. And every time we get into this, it stirs in me so big. You know, there is no anointing to quit.
No.
There's no gift of quit.
The quitting gift.
No, you don't get to sit around with the people in your church and go
all
around the table and say,
well,
what's your gift? Oh, I'm a singer. I'm a musician. I paint. I'm an artist. I quit.
Yeah, and, I'm a quitter.
You don't get to do that. There's no anointing to quit. You've not been gifted to quit. You are not called to quit. You are called to victory. Our God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And he says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. This word confidence is the Greek word parousia. It means freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech, free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, and assurance. And he says, we don't throw that away. Mm-hmm. We don't get rid of that. And I got to thinking about this just last night. For you to throw something away means you have to have it first. It's got to be within your reach.
That's right.
To throw it away. If you never had it, then there's nothing for you to throw away. And he's the instruction here is don't throw away what you've been given. You may not see it in yourself. You may think of yourself as a quitter, but you go back to that day. You made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and all the victory in heaven and on earth was put inside of you that day, and don't you dare throw it away.
Now, I had never made this connection before, right this moment. But, you know, he had already said here in chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly mm-hmm. to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And all this time he's talking about entering into God's rest mm-hmm. by mixing faith with the word of God preached. And then he gets over here and he said, don't you throw that boldness away.
Yeah.
Don't you go crawling away and quit before the throne of grace. No, sir, you stand back up. Don't you cast that confidence away.
Yeah.
I'd never made that connection there, but I can see what he's saying. In his heart and mind, he's seeing these people at the very throne of grace by invitation being raised up together and sitting together yeah. in that throne, in that resting place with Christ Jesus, where he says, come on, boy, sit down here while I make yeah. your enemies your footstool. Yeah. Sit here next to me. And you get up and start crawling away and quit and walk out and say, ah, oh, well, you know, I guess I just, no. Man, that's trash and something yeah. that's precious, isn't it?
Yeah. And this whole thing here in Hebrews 10, same
before.
As 2 Corinthians 4, all of this is in the face of persecution. All of this is in the face of hardship and trial. And he says, don't you dare quit.
And these people were facing some really disastrous
yeah.
threats.
And their option was, we're either going to believe in the work of the cross, we're going to believe in Jesus and what he said and did, or we're going to go back to the way we used to do it with sacrifices and the law and the rules. And he wrote to them, he said, don't cast away that confidence. It has great reward. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. I found out in the Greek last night that this, for a little while, it says, for yet a little while, a very little while.
Very little.
What did we just read in 2 Corinthians?
Yeah.
He said, this of light affliction.
A moment.
Is for a moment.
Victory's and he's right there.
He's talking to you about endurance. And he goes on in verse 38 and he says, now the just shall live by faith. What does verse 39 say? We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who what?
Believe
to the saving of the soul.
Oh, that's
brutal. We don't draw back. We don't quit. And I want you to determine right now, you're not a quitter. Don't give up. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on what God's called you to do. Yes, but it's hard. Hey, you need some endurance. We need some endurance.
It's easy. Everybody'd be doing it, man.
I went back last night and I listened to a message. You know, Chip Brim, Billy's son, came and preached to our young people in California last year and in Fort Worth. But particularly this message he preached to us in California. I was so touched by it. I went back and listened to it again. You know, Chip's an athlete. And he's a coach. And he got a degree in the study of the human body. And he was in a class one time and he was telling these kids about this class he took in physiology. And the instructor said, kind of a boring instructor, but he said, today we're going to learn about the runner's high. But instead of me teaching it to you, you're going to experience it. And he walked them out to the track at the college. And this is a night course. And he said, start running. And they had to take off running. He said everybody was in this class. You got old people and grannies and grandpa. They all quit. But he and his buddy, they decided, we're going to do this. We're going to get good grades. We're going to do this. So he and his roommate ran, and they ran, and they ran. He said he started to hurt, so he asked the professor, is this the runner's high? He said, no. Keep running. He ran some more till his buddy just just lost it all right there on the track. He said, that must be the runner's side. No, keep running. And he ran and he ran. He ran past the hurt. He ran and he said his body was screaming at him, you can't just stop, 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 stop. You're going to die. But he kept running and he kept running until all of a sudden something went off in him and he got so high. He got so turned on. He said, I got it. I got it. This is it. And he said he was literally, the way he called it, we said we were jacked up on something, man, because they were so high. He hit that. What he was talking to us about was the brain will release what they call endorphins into the body. And when you get past that pain, you get past the point you think you can't go any further, it's released in you. And that's how these men and women run marathons. That's sure, how you sustain trouble is through these. He's talking about these things released in your body. And the Lord spoke to me and said, who created the body? He said, you did. He started talking to him about this endurance and the Spirit of God within you, big enough to rise up and to sustain you. He talked about in Jesus' bodily pain at the cross, how he's sustained. And Hebrews chapter 12 says, look at Jesus, the author and the finish of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do?
Endured.
He endured the cross.
You know, Jeremy, I've learned this over the years, that there is, the same thing happens in the spirit. You come to a place where you think, I'm sure I must have prayed in the spirit. I've prayed in tongues for, I know the last 2 hours. You look, 9 minutes, you know. But there is a place where you just stay there. And you just stay with it and stay with it. You'll come to that place where Brother Leroy Thompson, you know, he talks about a gusher.
Yeah.
Well, you have to understand Southern Louisiana talk to understand what a gusher is. That's a gusher, and you hit a gusher, and it just begins to just flow out of your spirit and your being. These are the way things are made.
And if there's somebody watching or listening right now and you're in the middle of something and it feels like all hell on earth has come against you, you've got a choice.
Don't
right
quit.
Now. You can decide what the testimony of this situation is going to be. It's either going to be, this happened to me and I didn't know what to do, so I quit. Or it's going to be, I'm a believer, therefore I'm not a quitter. My heart is in good condition and I'm not losing heart. And you go back to the word that says, this is a momentary light affliction.
Yes,
a very little while is what Hebrews calls it.
Absolutely.
I know it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, but Brother Jeremy, what if I die?
Well, hey. Now you're in heaven. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, talk about a gusher. Man, yeah. The devil's going to come up to you. You're going to say, you're going to die. I guarantee you, you're going to die. And you just hold it, devil. Let's talk here for a minute. Mm-hmm. What's the worst thing he could do to me? Kill me. Then what happens? I go to heaven. The rest of it is absolute glory for eternity. Now let's talk about you. You are a loser. You can't ever make it. Your future is doomed to hell forever. I'm not going to quit. Now it's time for you to quit. Get out of here. Boy, he'll break and run. He cannot take that. Amen. We're out of time. Jerry and I'll be back in just a moment.
Wouldn't it be nice to wake up in a perfect world where nothing ever goes wrong? But what do you do when you wake up in this world? How should you react when you feel rejected, angry, or when your heart is hurting? In this audio series by Jeremy Pearsons, you'll learn to draw out the nature of Christ that lives in you and act like Jesus no matter what you face.
Little Joe, is it because I am pretty and you want to kiss me?
In The Wasted Kiss, Jeremy teaches on what God created your lips for.
It's about giving you the weapons that you need to survive this life. Because if God on the throne has his way, you and I will be victorious in this life.
On the cutting edge of modern worship, Thank You is the latest from Marcus Kenny and delivers powerful new songs for this generation of faith-filled worshipers. The 1440 Package. Tools to help live your life for the glory of God. Every minute, every day. Order the 1440 Package today for only $25. This package contains two teaching messages on CD by Jeremy Pearsons and a music CD by Marcus Kenny. These resources are sure to make an impact on your entire family. Purchase your package online through our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192.
The 1440 package. I want to talk to you about this one. What do I do when I feel rejected? What do I do when my heart hurts? What do I do when I get angry? What do I do if I'm lost? And so forth. Now, when you stop and think about it a minute, if you knew what to do, it wouldn't be a test or a trial. Mm-hmm. It's when you don't know what to do that things become a problem and look insurmountable. Mm-hmm. James chapter 1 says, any test or temptation or trial, ask. God will give you his wisdom, and your faults won't keep him from giving it to you. But if you'll take this and listen to it and share it with your children, the reason you don't know what's going on in your kids' lives is because you're not paying any attention. That's the reason you don't understand their music, you don't understand the way they dress, you don't understand the way they look. Well, you might if you found out why they look that way. And what I'm saying is get involved. Mm-hmm. And listen to it with them. And listen to them. You don't have to do all the talking all the time. Let them share some things with you. And you ask questions. Praise the Lord. What do I do? This is just dynamite stuff, Jeremy. I'm really thrilled that you're putting things like this together for these kids. Praise the Lord. So get a hold of these things today. The young people today, you know it without me even saying it. If we had this kind of material back when we were going through, what a difference this would have made. Praise God. So order it. Do what you need to do right now. Southwest Believers Convention is August the 4th through the 9th here in Fort Worth, Texas. Now, we've got Super Kids services with Commander Kelly and all of the great Super Kids guys. Then 1440 junior high and high school students. Jeremy and his whole team will be there. Who are you guys speaking this year?
Chip Brim, Rick Reyna, myself. I'll be there. You're going to be there, but I'm not telling anybody about that one.
Be sure and don't.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, we're expecting great and wonderful things in our conventions all this summer. So pray and get there. Praise God. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland and Jeremy Pearson's reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455.
It's like going from the shallow end of the pool to jumping into the deep end of the pool.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Southwest Believers Convention, August 4th through 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar for 6 empowering days with believers from around the world. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Special services also include Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school. There's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Anybody can quit, but God won't.
Right.
He right where you left him.